Session number 26357.
Harold Wright, known as Jasper, real one. Where and when were you born?
I was born in London, North London, at Holloway Road.
What date was that?
That was, as far as I know, I was I can go back to about six years old.
What's your birthday?
July the 2nd, 1923,
wouldn't it?
81.
So,
81 next birthday.
81 next birthday.
Yeah.
So, yes, that would
next
be...
Next July.
1923.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, lovely.
Yeah.
Where did you go to school?
I went to school at Stony Stratford in Buckinghamshire. That's where I was more or less brought up. The school there, Fegan's home it was, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I was there until I was 14. Mm-hmm. Then I moved to Goudhurst in Kent.
Did you enjoy school?
I did, yes. Yeah. And I went to Goudhurst, Kent, which is a training farm, and also where they sort you out for what career you're going to have, you see. So I was chosen as a market gardener. So I was there until I was 16, and then I went out to on my first job at Kent, and whilst I was in Kent, you see, the call up for us came from Canterbury we had to go to Canterbury to sign on.
Okay, before I take you into the signing on, just talk about your family.
All I had is a sister and mother and sister. My mother's died a few years back. Mm. And my sister, she's in... We're out of touch with each other now because of circumstances,
see. But as a child, it was just you and your sister?
Yeah, but I didn't know until she was about 8 years old.
I see.
So there was a little bit of undercover work.
Yeah. And what did your parents do?
Well, I didn't have a father.
Mm.
Just a mother.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was used to work as a housekeeper and that, you know.
Yes.
I think they call them housekeepers. She used to mm-hmm. go and clean up a house, although she used to live in her own little flat.
In Kent, was it?
No, in London, near Holloway Road.
And when you were at school, what sort of things did you enjoy? Did you have hobbies and sports you liked?
Yes, but I wasn't so much sports at all, not enthusiast. I used to like... As a child, the usual games and all that, you see, and football, but I didn't specialise in any of that at all. And I reckon myself, I call myself a semi-loner. I mean, there we are there, look, you see on that photograph there.
Yes.
I'm on the end there.
Oh, yes.
And also that Joe... we're more or less brought up from very, very small. We were boarded out before we went into Fegan's, Stony Stratford. And he was in the RAF. And at that very age of, I think he was 21, he got killed.
Oh, dear.
So that's him there, and that's the others that were boarded out at the same, roughly about the same time as I was. So we were most fostered out to Granny Robinson, and they were Granny Robinson. I was with the daughter of Granny Robinson, with Roy Nelson. Roy Nelson, he was on the end there.
So your friends meant a lot to you as a boy?
Oh yes, yes, very, very close. We were like brothers, you know, and let's take that photograph at the bottom there. It says taken at the school there.
Yes.
The staff, there you see.
They were your family?
No, they were the ones, not mine, no. I'm on there, you see, as on the staff. So I went back on the staff as gardener and assistant housemaster. So that's that photograph there, you see, at the bottom.
Right. So you were in Kent and you got called up to Canterbury.
Yeah.
What had you heard about the war prior to this? As a young man, had you been worried about the war breaking out?
I don't remember. When I went to enlist, you see, where was it in? Beginning with T. Can't think of it.
So you were 18.
18.
So that
18
would be,
and a half. Yeah.
Yes, 1941.
Yeah, and I was on a market garden before that. You see.
As war had broken out 2 years previously,
yeah.
Had you been in a local home guard or?
Yes. I was in the home guard.
What were your duties there?
Well, it was just we were trained, you know, in the simple way, more or less as an extra body, you know. And I didn't reach the time where I could have got a medal. I think I was just probably a few months short. They wouldn't issue one out. You see, unless you were there on that exact time that they said 3 years.
So, what did you do? Did you meet in the evenings or?
Home guard.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we met during the week, and we.
What platoon were you with?
Do you know what? Oh dear me, it got me now. It was in can't think of it now where it was. It was
don't worry.
No, I can't think offhand where it
is. How many men were in your platoon?
Do you know what? I can't remember that either. No, I was only a boy, you see. So, you know, it's
what sort of, can you remember, did they give you a uniform and some?
Yeah, oh well, I started off with a forage cap and just the top.
Battle dress?
Yeah, battle dress. And then they gave us the trousers and I didn't carry a rifle or anything in Home Guard. There was only about three rifles, I think, for the whole lot. So, but I didn't carry one at all.
And did you patrol at night and weekends?
No. We went on training at night. We did a night training, you know, rehearsal type of thing. But no action there. But at the same time saying that, you see, when I was at school, a German plane came down nearby, landed, and he gave himself up. Dickie Hart, who was my instructor in horticulture, he was in the Home Guard. He had a gun. He took over the prisoner and handed him over. So it's, you know, it's got quite interesting.
Right, so you got to 18 and you got your call-up papers.
Yeah.
And you went to Canterbury?
Canterbury, yeah.
And which unit did you join?
We all went there more or less to be sorted out for the what we're going to do, you see. Mm-hmm. And I went before, after about very short time of probably a month, went before the selection board, and they asked me if I like aeroplanes. Well, to be honest, I said yes, you know. And before I knew where I was, the three officers there, they put this bit of paper in front of me and said, would you sign here, you see? And I signed and found myself on the day or two afterwards receiving a letter. Canterbury barracks, looking up and saw a list up there of those that were more or less chosen for the gliders, special gliders, you see. And it was when the gliders were first formed.
What unit was that?
12th Devons.
So that was your first...
12th Devons, that's my...
Your first regiment.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And my number was 145. You got it? Where you got it? 145-869-16. And I was a private.
So, that first month, what sort of training did you do when you first were called up?
Well, when you think of it, it was all a part of endurance at Canterbury. You know, like we went to, we had to march from somewhere outside Canterbury back to Canterbury when we had blisters on our feet, and I think they were testing us out for our stability, you know.
Did you have a good group with you?
Yes. We the barracks was nice and very happy atmosphere. And we had one arm. He was our commander in chief there. He had one arm. He was in charge.
And did you find the discipline difficult, or the fact that you've been to boarding school?
No. It came being boarding school. I just stepped out from one into the other with no problem at all. And and when I got to more or less enlisted in the Red Devils, I had to go through the paces there, you know, my paces of training for gliders. Mm-hmm. And so I am. We went on exercises in gliders.
And where were you based when you went to the when you were joined up with the airborne? Had your initial training?
Oh,
at Canterbury?
I know him. It's I've got a bit of paper.
So you went to the Devonshire Regiment for the airborne training at Bulford?
Bulford, yeah, in Wiltshire. We did our training on Salisbury Plain, and as airborne. And the test was, you see, they had a village there that had been evacuated and all the glass taken out the windows and just left the church there, which is there today. And once a year they have a service there, but only once a year. But all the glass was out the windows and whatnot, and we did our training there. And they had what they call the Valley of Death, where it was like a long trench, and the brim guns were trained above us, and we had to come from one end to the other. And they were so close, you see, just more or less, just missed you, you know.
And was it live fire?
And it was to test the effect that it would have on you. And one or two of them went silly, bomb happy, as we call it. And so we had to go from one end to the other with these Bren guns all the way along both sides, cross firing. And that was a part of the training there
Bulford.
What do they call it? Salisbury, off Salisbury Plain, where we had our first training, you know. And the gliders, they used to land with us in them, but they used to land on wheels so that they didn't get destroyed, because they had to be used again. And they were all packed in cardboard and in wooden boxes, crates, and put together like Meccano, and the wings were moving and all that rest, all that business, you see. And you got on these gliders, and there was I think it was about 12 each side, probably maybe more, but 12 each side, and you sat on these very, very narrow seats with no safety belts or anything like that. You just sat there on the edge, as it were, and the gliders had an elevator. I can't really call them elevators, where they started off was at the bottom, and then as they came up like that, as you got on the glider, the elevator would get to level. Once it got to level, the glider was full. You know, they wouldn't take anything else on it.
How many men did you go on a full glider?
Well, I always thought there was 20 on each. I don't know, maybe wrong. I estimated probably 15 each side or something like that. You know, they had to have, pardon me, they had to have a good quota because of the number of gliders that they would have to use, you see. I've got an idea, there may be 15 on each side. That'd be 30, wouldn't it?
And what sort of plane pulled the gliders?
Bombers, twin-engine bombers, pulled us with a rope. And through the rope there was no end of wires leading from the glider to the plane, where they were in conversation. Was there in conversation? And when we got over to the target, it was released by the plane, the tow rope, and by the glider, released. So it hung behind down the plane, and the plane released it somewhere. And we just came down. You don't go up in those things in the air, you come down. So there's no, once you start coming down, you just pray that it's going to find a piece of ground without going into crashing into buildings.
And the glider has,
which many did,
a pilot and
pilot and co-pilot, and they were fighters afterwards. They the glider pilots, they became like joined the fighting group on foot. And
what was the sensation like being in the glider?
Being young, being so young, I don't quite understand it, because if I was older, I'd absolutely tremble at the knees, you know. But being so young, and I can't understand why I didn't feel, you know, kind of so fearful as I should do, as I would do if I was a bit older.
Was it very quiet?
In the glider? Mm. Oh yes, very quiet. And we were just sitting on these very narrow bits of seating, about just a few, well, just 2 or 3 feet. No straps around or anything like that.
Did you have helmets or just your berries?
No, I had helmets. We had airborne helmets. Proper helmets strapped underneath. And and we just came down and rushed away from the gliders before they caught fire. You know, and Germans were catching them on fire. And in about 5 minutes, there was just ashes. No metal. Just ashes.
So when you were training, what sort of weapons did they train you with?
Rifles.
What sort?
I was on what they call them, the
Lee Enfield?
No, it's
Is it a Bren gun?
No, the Lee Enfield. No, they were just the general issue of army rifles. You know, with a magazine of five bullets, which you
303.
303, yeah.
And did you have submachine guns and things?
I didn't, no, but I didn't. But we did have machine guns. I wasn't trained actually with the Bren guns. We had training with Bren guns, but the lad that with the Bren gun, he kept his Bren gun, and if he was wounded and that, somebody else would take over. You see, that was the idea of it.
So each glider had, say, 30 people in it.
Yeah.
Would it be mixed skills in there? Would it be like a Bren gunner and infantrymen and stretcher bearer in each plane? Would it, or did, were you all part of a larger unit?
Do you know what? I don't remember the. You talk about the stretcher bearers. I think they were a different regiment, a different company. The stretcher bearers, the first aid and all that. You see, they were separate from what we were.
Did they come in the gliders with you?
Well, they were in gliders. They was in the gliders, yeah. Mm. But not now particularly. I was 12th platoon, and my company commander was Lieutenant Nuttall. He was the mayor of... not far away from he was the terrible when you can't think the other side of Okehampton.
Oh yes,
so the other side of Okehampton.
Yes.
He was the mayor there. Well, I was batman to him, very young, and he got wounded twice, and I took over another officer. And he came back again after he'd been, his wounds were kind of
stable.
Mm. And then we went out, I went out with him again, and he got hit again on another. When we were actually in France, as I said before, we were only about 2-3 minutes from our position to the German position. There was just a hedge. The Germans were behind the hedge, and a roll of barbed wire, and then we were in France. We're talking about France. Okay.
I'll take you on to that in a moment. Mm. We'll just do it in sequence. So what else did you do for your training for the airborne?
Well, we did the glider training, you know, which really, if a glider came down, I mean, you were just gone, you know. There's no other, there were any plywood, and you were just gone if they crashed.
Did you have many accidents in training?
Not in training, no, because the gliders were used on airfields and used again, you see, that we used again. And so they landed more or less on concrete, you know, airfield concrete.
Was it kept as a secret unit, the airborne? Or did you mix with the ordinary troops?
Not really. I don't remember. No, we were more or less kept separate in what we did. We had red berries. We were awarded the red berry after so many jumps, so many landings, and in the gliders.
Did you have to do parachute jumps as well?
No. Didn't do any of that at all. No.
And did you have special friends in your platoon that you made as special friends?
Oh yes. Well, I mean, we were all more or less all in the same boat, and we treated each other as our brothers, you know. Whoever they were.
Did you get time to go and have some time off and home leave?
Yes. We had during that period of before, you know, of training we had leave, and I used to go home to Highbury in London to mother, and it was quite regular leaves. And
did you have local dances and things?
I don't dance. I don't. I wouldn't know where to put one foot in front of the other.
Did you meet any of the local girls?
It was on occasions. We kind of went to cinemas and things like that, where it was we just, as friends, we just treated each other as just as friends, you know. I didn't have any particular girl, so that's number one. So I wasn't a goody-goody. we had our various types of livelihood, you know, and we differed. You know, everybody seemed to differ, you know. We had some of them that used to rush out to the girls and all that, but I wasn't in that category. I didn't. I used to talk to them and be friends, just talking to them. But apart from that, there was nothing else. But just treating them as friends. And
and was the discipline strict in your unit?
Very, very, yeah. Very strict. On one occasion, to test us, they at Canterbury, we had the boxing. That's the thing that always... Well, I, in the boxing, we all went into this big hall, and we were in a boxing ring in the middle. And every so often the officer would say, "You and you in 1 minute." And they boxed away, you see. Well, I tried to get out of sight, and he spotted me, you see, and said, "That one, you and you, you see." Well, I went into the ring, got knocked out. One blow. And so I was more or less on the ground, and they kind of, when I came round, they put me on my bed, you see. When I came round, you see, I didn't know very much about it, but I did understand that the one who knocked me out was an actual amateur boxer. So having known that afterwards, I quite expected that I wouldn't survive many seconds, not alone the minute. So I was knocked out, and came round, and he shook hands with me, and so that was a part of the endurance, you see. That was to test our strengths and our weaknesses, and so we didn't realise until later on that to go into the airborne, that was a part of the training to test us for selection, you see, for the Red Berets.
Did you have special equipment, like smocks?
Yes, we had smocks which had a tail that came between the legs, and you'd pin, use press stud. And we had the camouflage smocks, and we had our Red Berry, and we were more or less, you know, I don't know how to put it really. I can't.
What sort of role did they explain to you that you would be doing? How did they see the unit forming? And what
when we got selected from Canterbury, you see. When we got to Bulford, where the our camp was, all chalk it was, you know. We began to feel the picture a bit more. You see the picture a bit more of what we're going to have to do, And you see, when I was at the camp, as I say, where we joined, where our regiment was, it was all chalk and very, very nasty as well, because the first night I went to the NAFI and we had to go in between trenches, and these kind of where the huts were, and I fell in one and I had to stay in there more or less because it was all wet. It had been raining and all wet, and I think that they had to I got reported missing, and I was like Joseph in the Bible, you know, and I had to get rescued out of this trench. And that's what I always remember. It was very, very slimy. You couldn't climb out of it. It's all chalk.
So how many were there in your hut or platoon?
All together.